Jonathan was right. We do have several more with us today than we have had. We still have some that are out, but we're thankful that people are making it back. From the sounds of things, not everybody's completely over it or healthy yet, but we're glad you're able to be back with us. And this morning I'd like to consider a lesson on the subject of leaven. We're approaching the period of Easter, and of course that is focused upon the crucifixion of Jesus. He died during the time of Passover, and the children of Israel were, of course, told that they needed to remove all of the leaven out of their homes in preparation for Passover. So we want to notice this lesson today, and the subject of leaven comes up quite often throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. Of course, leaven, literal leaven, is simply an agent such as yeast that causes batter or dough to rise, especially by fermentation. The term leaven is mentioned some 24 times in the Bible, sometimes literally, but most often figuratively, to denote a pervasive influence that is either good or bad. Jesus used the term in a negative sense when he wanted to warn his disciples about the doctrine of the Sadducees and Pharisees and of Herod. You're familiar with these passages in Matthew 16 and verse 6 and Mark 8 and verse 15, Mark 16 and verse 12. It says, beware of their leaven. Don't let them influence you. Don't be like them. And it's so easy, of course, to, since they were in positions of authority and they were looked to as leadership, both spiritually and civilly, to be like them. Jesus said, don't be like them. Don't let them influence you. Likewise, we must ever be on guard against the influence of false doctrine. In Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia. And he said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And so, here these churches had been established. Paul had taught many of them and brought many of them into existence. But we know from a study of Galatians that the particular false doctrine that was being taught and that many of these Galatian churches were beginning to embrace was the false doctrine of the Judaizers, which said in order to be saved, you must be circumcised and keep other elements of the Mosaic law. Maybe they were terming their doctrine a different gospel or another gospel. So there's no such thing as another gospel. There's only one gospel. It says even if we were to come back, even if an angel from heaven was to preach something to you different than what we have taught to you, let him be accursed. What's he saying? He said what we taught you the first time was the truth. That's what you need to hold on to. Don't go listening to what these other folks are saying and following after them. Did they use persuasive speech? Sure. Was there an element of logic attached to their teaching? Yes. But it was still against the doctrine of Christ. And that's what he is telling them to hold on to. Hold on to the gospel. Don't be persuaded. You know the truth. Don't be swayed away from the truth. Don't be influenced. to embrace something other than the truth. We must also guard against the carnal influence. Spiritual destruction. Against the carnal. Well, the carnal tries to influence us. I don't know if I didn't write that quite right, but this is what I'm trying to say. Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 through 8, it says, those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. And those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We are both carnal and spiritual beings. We are a spiritual being that lives inside a carnal body. And the carnal has its desires and the spirit has its desires. The carnal longs after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The carnal seeks to promote itself. It's interested only in itself and gratifying itself. Whereas the spiritual longs for something that is higher and that is greater. And only God can show us what that is. And He's shown that to us in His Word. That's why it's so important that we hear His Word and be influenced by His Word rather than be influenced by the things of the world, things of the carnal nature. And that's what he's saying here. 1 Corinthians 5 and verses 6 through 7, you remember the church at Corinth had in their midst a brother in Christ who was having sexual relations with his father's mother, evidently his stepmother. They were allowing that to continue. They weren't doing anything about that. And Paul says, you need to realize that this is not good. It's going to have an influence among you. He says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Remove this influence from you. But there's also a general lesson taught here. Even when we remove this out of its particular context that it was set in, we find that what he is saying here applies to all influence that is bad. He says, a little leaven leavens the whole. You can't have just a little bit of carnal influence and expect that it's not going to affect you spiritually as a whole. He says it will. That's the point. Be a new lump. Be a lump that's not influenced by the world. Truly be unleavened. For Christ, indeed, is our Passover. He has been sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You know, that's interesting because in 1 Corinthians 5, he says, you know, I realize that, you know, to be completely separated from those who are of the world, you'd have to leave the world. You'd have to leave the planet, in other words. And so how is it that we can live in the world and not be of the world? We need to recognize that we need to be an influence on the world for good. But we need to also realize that the world is an influence on us for evil. And we need to be honest with ourselves and allow ourselves to evaluate, well, am I being influenced by the world or am I influencing the world? Am I influencing the world for good? Am I standing up and letting God's word be heard, be seen in my life? So I want to come back here to this passage that we find here in 1 Corinthians 5 and verses 6 through 7. And notice that sin influences us to think that we are greater than we are. I think that's what was going on with the Corinthians. Well, we just have this one fella, and I don't know why they wanted to continue letting him go on in that lifestyle, but they thought they were above it. Bitterness and hatred make us feel that we have more power over others. You know, we live in a time that we've seen recently, we definitely live in a divided country. Some people want you to believe that we're divided racially or along those lines. I don't believe that's the case. It's not a problem of race. It's a problem of whether we want to do the will of God or not do the will of God. Whether we want to seek our own way or we want to follow the way of God. That's what the marches are all about. People aren't marching to do what the Bible says. In fact, some of those who march says we would have been better off if Mary would have had an abortion. We wouldn't have the problems that we have today. That's the problem that we're divided against. And we need to realize that people use biblical terms in non-biblical ways. They use righteous terms in non-righteous ways. And we need to be careful that we are not influenced and deceived by that. But we find that, you know, people, when they express their hatred, they think that they're exercising their power or their superiority. Hypocrisy and bigotry makes us feel more important than others. We feel like we're better than they are. And the interesting thing about that is, you know, in the homosexual community now that wants to be seen and be heard and be accepted and be considered as equal and all of that thing, no, they don't want to be considered as equal. They want to be considered as superior. That's really the point that is being made in all of that. Viewing or listening to crude forms of entertainment deceives us into believing that we are mature. Quotation marks. When we talk about adult beverages and adult entertainment and that type of thing, not fit for children. Why isn't it fit for children? Well, children are innocent, and they shouldn't have their innocence corrupted by these things. Well, we're to be innocent. We are not to be corrupted by these things either. Adults shouldn't seek after those things. Shouldn't have a desire for those things. See, don't glory in those things that are not fitting. It won't be long until we think, well, I can have a little bit of sin in my life. Look how spiritually strong I am that I can have a little bit of sin in my life. Your glorying is not good. Your glorying is not good. Purge out this old leaven. Get rid of all of its influence, since you are truly unleavened. Leaven causes bread to mold and decay from the inside out. I mean, it does good. It makes things rise and makes things taste better and all that, bakes better, all that for a while, okay? But if you just leave it alone, it begins to also have the influence of decaying. The leaven of sin will mold and decay and make our soul worthless. So we allow these things to remain in us. Eventually, it will destroy us. Pride and arrogance takes over. We begin to think that we're better than what the Word of God says. We're stronger than what the Word of God says we are. And we think we can accommodate some of these things, when in actuality, we need to put these things completely away from us. We must learn to be the gatekeeper of our heart and not allow these things into our heart. We must lock out the intruders of evil. Children may not be good listeners, but they are good imitators. You know, you can teach your children with words, and hopefully they get it, But most of the time, they don't. They hear what you're saying, but they don't understand what you're saying. They might agree with you, but they don't wholeheartedly agree with you. The way they come to a wholehearted agreement with things that are right is that they see you do things that are right. When you tell them not to watch this and not to do that and those types of things, they'll say, okay. But don't let them see you watching and doing those things, because that's hypocrisy. And children pick up on hypocrisy right away. Let them be imitators of that which is good that they see in you. There's no such thing, as we talked about a little bit ago, as mature or adult entertainment or beverages. There's no place for those things in the life of an adult, just as there's not a place for them in the life of a child either. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. See, the whole point here is that he is bringing, you know, this leaven, remove all of the leaven. How much leaven could they have in their home at that time? None. And he says, you have accepted Christ as your Savior. You have accepted Him into your life. How much evil influence will Christ accept? That's none. How much did He accept in His life? How much evil did He go along with in His life? None. And we need to follow Him in that and let that be seen in us. So to prepare for the Passover, of course, the family spent an entire week scouring the house for any and every small crumb of yeast they could find. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses, Exodus 12 and verse 19. Jesus remained free of the world's evil influence, and we must have that same commitment. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. So books and magazines or movies and TV programs do not allow even a little trash in your living room. And, you know, when we talk about the living room literally, or the room that you live in, don't allow it in. You are the gatekeeper. You know, don't go places on the internet that you know you shouldn't be going. Don't pick up the book or the magazine that you know you shouldn't be looking at. Don't listen to the music that has the wrong lyrics to them. All of these things have a tendency to influence. Purge out the old leaven. That's what we are called to do. Purge out that old leaven, that you may be a new lump, that you may be Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. It may be evident that Christ lives in you. But you know, on the other hand, leaven is used in a good sense. Matthew 13 and verse 33, another parable he spake to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till all was leaven. Leaven, as we said, does its work from within. And the influence of the gospel of Christ works within a person's heart. James 1 and verse 21 says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Where does it begin? Where does the purging out of the old leaven begin? And the introduction of the new leaven begin? It begins with receiving the implanted word. Just as the woman hid three measures, or hid leaven in measures of meal till all was leavened. So we need to let the Word of God sink into our heart and influence our heart and all of our character to where we become like Christ. It begins and it really ends with receiving the Word and letting it work within us. In Luke 8 and verse 15, it says, "The ones that fell on the good ground," Jesus said, "are those who, having heard the Word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." These people received the Word and let it take root. And with the desire to serve and honor and glorify God, they pushed out the old leaven. You know, the interesting thing about the parable of the sower, or one of the interesting things about the parable of the sower, is just before this, when he talks about the seed that was sown among the thorns and the thistles, and the word, the seed of the word, it germinated and grew and grew up, but the thorns and the thistles, they choked it out. They choked out the word. They didn't produce fruit unto perfection. You know, I think sometimes you look at that and you say, well, you know, I don't know what happened to those people, but, you know, I guess they left the church. No, they're still in the church. They're still in the church. Some of them still assemble every Bible study and every worship service. But the influence of the world is choking them out to where they're not producing fruit to their potential. The world is having an influence upon them. And God's not pleased with that. We need to be doing all that we can do. Purge out this old leaven and let this new leaven of God's Word and His will be evident in our life. Leaven indeed changes the ingredients. It has an influence upon the ingredients, and it changes them. When one accepts the gospel, they become a new man. They have new thoughts, and they go about doing new deeds. You can read the rest of Colossians 3 and verses 5 through 17. He talks about what you were and what you are, and how we were put away what we were and to be what God would have us to be. Very important to read that and remind ourselves of what God calls us to be. We also notice that leaven is aggressive. It does not stop until it has affected the whole. Whether that's for evil or whether that's for good. Whether it's, you know, like we talked about there, how that and the seed among the thorns and so forth. You know, they think that they're okay. They think they're all right. They're not going to cut down those things that are choking them out from going on to perfection. We need to allow the Word of God to be more aggressive than the things of the world and the attractions of the world. The kingdom of God is spread by the pervasive influence of those who are Christ, bringing others to Him. You're familiar with John chapter 1 and how the one person found another person, brought them to Jesus. Jesus found Philip. Philip found Nathanael and all of those things. Brought people to Jesus. That's what we need to be doing, is finding people and bringing them to Christ, bringing them to the God of this Bible, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is revealed herein. Continuing here with 1 Corinthians 5 and verses 6 and 7, purge out this old leaven. Be this new lump. Be an expression of Christ. Let Him be seen in you. You see, that week-long festival of the Passover began with a celebration of their freedom from slavery. They'd already been delivered. They'd crossed the Red Sea when God gave them the Passover. And as they continued to observe it, they were in anticipation of God's going to deliver them. So they're taking this Passover meal, recognizing that God is going to deliver them. Physically, have they been delivered? Have they crossed the Red Sea? No. But are they going to? Yes, it is certain. You see, that's why they can take of this Passover meal. Now, I realize, as you realize, that that was partaken in a night that in which God was going to bring that 10th plague upon all of Egypt, and all the firstborn of all living was going to die, except for the children of Israel, as they observe the Passover and all that was entailed in that. But God is going to deliver them. And they're taking this in recognition of this deliverance. Their salvation, they're not going to die. They're going to be delivered. It wasn't the removal of sin from their home that made them free. God had made them free. God was going to make them free. But the realization of their freedom motivated them to maintain it. Do we realize that? We don't make ourselves free in abstaining from sin. God makes us free. But we maintain that freedom by abstaining from sin. We can't have it both ways. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verses 2 through 6. This is what Paul is trying to get us to see in these passages. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? When we were baptized for the remission of our sins, for the taking away of our sins, weren't we baptized to be dead to sin? Shake your heads this way. Yes. We said we weren't going to sin any longer. That's what he's arguing here. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Why did Jesus die? Jesus died to take away our sins. Why are you baptized? You're baptized for the remission of your sins, for the taking away of your sins. You're baptized so that you'll be dead to sin. Not alive to sin, but a dead to sin and alive to Christ. Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not that old life of sin. We're dead to that. We are to walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we are also to be found in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with. That's dead. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. But we rise to walk in newness of life with Him. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Christ made us free. Act like it. Live like it. Let others see that. Think like it. Pray like it. Live this life of freedom, free from the influence of those things that are evil. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, Jesus is saying to you, come to me. All ye that are weary and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come and learn from me. Let my word find place in your heart. And let the influence of my word drive out the influence of evil that you have been influenced by, the influence of the world. Turn from that and turn to me and follow me. You've been baptized for the remission of your sins? If not, why not? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're ready to make this commitment to Him and to serve Him, confess Him as the Son of God, then be baptized today for the remission of your sins. Arise to walk with Him in newness of life. If you're subject to the invitation in any way at all this morning, if you're here as a brother or sister in Christ in need of the prayers of your brothers and sisters on your behalf, we'd encourage you to let that be known. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
Oh, I have doubted sorrow. Oh, eyes that long for sight. There's gladness in believing, and Jesus there is light.
For You've done a good job, Ken. We appreciate you. Ken just been with us for a few weeks. For those who have never done it, it's hard to get up and do everything on a computer if you haven't done it before, or even teaching a class or singing or whatever, especially if you're in the shape I am, you can't see very good. But you've done an excellent job. We appreciate you, Ken. We're glad that you're here. Of course, Doug always does a good job. And so we're not going to brag on him too much. He'll probably want to raise this afternoon. We'll take a few moments and we'll be dismissed in our closing prayer. Father, we're thankful that we've been permitted to assemble here, and we're thankful for the presence of each and every one. We're thankful for all the blessings that you've given to us. And we at this time ask that we would examine each of ourselves each day. Let your word dwell upon us, that it plunge out the old leaven and the old sin, and that we draw closer to you each day. Help us to remind you that we do this by the fact that we let your word dwell upon us and lead us, and that you're stronger and wiser than we are. Help us to remember that we have throughout eternity to rest, and that we should manifest spiritual growth each day. Would you continue to bless us in that service? In Jesus' name, amen.
Obviously, I don't need the microphone.
Where it is.
What?
But we
what
have somewhere a remote. So, like, and I've used it before, and we had the previous song leader. I know that is one, but it's not
that's the
same.
Target,
yeah,
remote.
It's a little different. There is one somewhere. I'd have to talk to Doug about it.
Yeah,
but
okay.
it's real cool because it's just two buttons.
Right.
And it's forward or back.
Right.
And you can,
right.
So like it frees you up where you don't have to.
Right.
You know, you can.
Well, my
and I like it. I've done it that way too.
My problem is this. Okay.
Yeah.
See my hands? I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I've got the trembles.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
what I did was I accidentally pushed on that button and popped me
on
the menu.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, and I was just going.
Trying to.
And I was just.
That's so easy to happen.
Just ready to switch a page when it did, and that I lost it. That just stopped
it. I'm going to see if we can find that, because that remote's so easy. Like, I love it.
Right, right.
That
well, the thing is, with the remote, then I don't have to put my hands on the computer. Okay.
With the remote?
And what I was doing, see that monitor?
Yeah.
It was the monitor was sitting there shaking on me because I had my hand on the computer.
Would you be interested in using a remote?
I would.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll
if you can find it.
And that's awesome.